On 10th anniversary day today, and well, it's always a great moment when our next guest joins us, the lovely and talented Gary Tagway, who was our first guest 10 years ago, back today. Hello there, Gary.
You know, every time I hear that Dunnett's commercial, I think to myself, because back to UMO, when I was working for you at WABI, and then going to school at the University of Maine, and I'm just amazed that Dunnett's are still doing it, but good for them, man.
They
good
are, and them. Taking care of business better than ever down there at Dunnett's,
they
doing
are,
it upright.
And I do remember me being your first guest, but I think it was Slim Pickens at the time. No, I don't think you have the guest. You didn't have the guest list then that you do now, but I still feel very honored.
Well, we had a heck of a guest list, at least the leads on it, because you were gracious enough to set us up with a whole bunch of your contacts in Boston sports. And I remember you telling me, I'll get them for you once, you got to keep them. And that was great advice.
Well, you've kept them. I mean, didn't you just have, like, you? Who was on? Giardi was on? I mean, a bunch of people were on. I mean, I keep seeing all these guys pop up. So you do a great job. And, I mean, you get Shaughnessy. You still, they're hanging around, Rich. That's all you.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I just humor them and you pump up their work. Give them the huge promotional boost that can come from being on AM radio in Bangor, Maine.
Well, a member of the media is never going to turn down an open mic or phone or whatever it is.
Oh, my goodness. What's going on with you? When are we going to see this Adam McKay movie?
Well, I think it's November 11th or 12th.
Ooh, okay.
I have to check. It's going to be in theaters. Originally, it was supposed to be Netflix only, but they are going to do a release in theaters, which I'm hoping to see because it's going to be great. I don't know if you've seen the first trailer that dropped, but if you watch the first trailer where it has Leonardo DiCaprio and then Jen Lawrence and Jonah Hill and then Meryl Streep, who's playing the president, you totally get the movie. You get the vibe, you get the comedy, you get the statement it's making. And when not that I was an integral part of it, but I was around a little bit, and I was trying to get a feel for it, you know, because McKay's so damn talented. He's done everything from Step Brothers and Anchorman to, you know, The Big Short.
Mm.
Such a cerebral movie. And then, you know, Vice. So I'm like, where does this fall? You know? And I think it falls somewhere in between, you know, I don't know. It's going to be a comedy, but it's going to be really smart, and it's going to be awesome.
Well, it'll do well, but I'm just going to say it would have done better if they put you in the trailer.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, listen, it's a pretty, there's a lot of stars. I mean, Captain America's not in the trailer, for God's sake. Chris Evans isn't in the trailer, so I have nothing to bitch about.
Yeah, but you're the guy who got Rosamund Pike a Golden Globe, for crying out loud.
Yes. Yes, Rich. Preach. Yes. Absolutely. I think she was doing just fine. In that scene, I'm what they call filler fruit. She's the strawberry and the blueberries, and I'm like I'm the melon.
You're the honeydew on the side of the plate.
I am the honeydew on the side of the plate. That's right.
Gary Tagway with us here on Downtown. All right, Red Sox, every minute it changes here. They had a 6-1 lead. They now lead Tampa Bay 8-7 in the seventh inning. Should I even care about this team anymore since they don't care about themselves enough to get vaccinated, for crying out loud?
Well, boy, that's a whole other issue, isn't it? I know how you and I are both like, look, just get vaccinated. Your chances are better with it. You know, regardless of what Belichick said the other day, he was angry. He was talking out of his you-know-what. He didn't eat any took any, you know, took a couple steps back on that. Aside from the vaccination point, which I'm with you, get vaccinated. That's your best shot, right? Aside from that, I still love the team. And I love Cora. You know, because the guy is just managing his ass off. And they are what they are. They're not as good as Tampa. They're not as good as some of these teams that are, you know, that are true contenders for the World Series. But they didn't quit. You know, I thought they were done, Rich. I when they didn't make any deals at the deadline, and I thought Bloom did the right thing by standing pat, because this isn't the year. He's there to develop the farm system and build up the team. And that's what this ownership has done in the past. And I don't think they're going to be Tampa. I don't think they're going to be the next Tampa Bay Rays. I do believe that John Henry will spend money when the time is right again. Because he's done it four times. The guy won four World Series, and everybody still knocks him. I mean, I'm like, you got to trust him. He's done it. The Patriots did it with one quarterback. This guy's done it with four different rosters. So give him a chance to do it a fifth time. That, as you can tell, that's really a spur in my side there, or whatever, or whatever it's called. But I mean, it irritates me. But I love the team. They don't quit. I mean, in court, you know. But the fact, you know, is that there's no question. Look, the vaccine thing, yes, it's crazy. But they're not giving up. I mean, they're still in the hunt for a wild card. I thought they'd be out. I thought they would be dead and buried.
And I don't know how you feel.
Why not root for them?
To me,
you can get the political thing out of it, and the vaccine thing out of it, which shouldn't even be a political issue. It just looked like at the team from a baseball perspective, how can you not root for them?
Right. And to me, if they get in, even if it's a one-game playoff with the Yankees and they lose, that to me is still a successful season, because here it is, it's September and they're playing meaningful baseball. Nobody expected that back in March.
No, I mean, Rich, you know baseball more than me. I will always admit that. But you know these players. Look at them. I mean, they're all part-time players. I mean, other than Bogarts and Devers, right, and J.D. Martinez, who's really a DH. But the rest of, and Sale can pitch five innings. Nobody can pitch past five innings. You know, and Sale came back, and he looks good so far after being out for 2 years. But other than that, they're really all part-time players. And Kike Hernandez has made himself into a full-time player. But when they brought all these guys in, they were all like platoon guys and people that you never really heard of, and they've played above their heads to me. So I just think like to expect them to win the American League East is crazy. And I think everything's gravy. I think everything is gravy with this club, to me.
I'm with you. Gary Tanguy with us on Downtown. Did Bill Belichick make the right move at quarterback?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, he did. And, you know, my thing has been the human shield. He was going to use Cam Newton as the human shield for, like, four or five games because Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal, and by the way, if you don't subscribe to that, people should if you're a football fan, because Bedard's awesome. He said that he felt that the only reason Bill was starting Newton was because he didn't think Cam's body at this stage of his career was ready for 17 games. And that was the only reasonable explanation I've heard for starting Newton. That, you know, look, I mean, Cam, he's bad body Cam, man. I mean, he does not. Now, you get a full season of off-season conditioning, you build the guy up, then you think that he can probably last for 17 games in the playoffs. He's already got the knee brace. I think that Bill's thinking, I got to save this kid. And that made sense to me, because Cam Newton's not a better quarterback than Mac Jones. It's obvious. I mean, anybody can see that. But when Cam violated the COVID protocol, and even though the press release said that Cam's behavior was approved, there's something else going on there that I haven't been able to nail down yet. But I have been told there was something that Cam did that he shouldn't have done, and I haven't been able to nail it down yet. Now, I'm not saying anything illegal or bad, but he broke a rule that shouldn't, you know, this shouldn't have happened, okay? He shouldn't have missed a week. And when that happened, Bill had no argument. I mean, Josh McDaniels has wanted Mac all along. He wants Mac to start week one, and he and Bill have been butting heads over it. And then Bill was like, no, we got to save the kid, you know. But when this COVID thing happened, Bill didn't have any argument. He was like, okay, you're a moron, you know, I'm starting the kid.
Hey,
that's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, everybody knows Mac Jones is better.
Right.
You know, and I don't even know. I mean, Rich, I don't know. Can he last 17 games? Mm. I don't know.
Well, they got Brian Hoyer. They're all set.
What's that?
They've got Brian Hoyer. They don't have to worry.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on with that. That's risky. But I hope the kid's okay, because it's 17 games, man. It's, you know, Rich, you and I know. We played in the NFL. We know how grueling it can be. it's brutal. I mean, though, he's going to – and. So we'll see. I hope the kid. I think he's going to be good. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think he's going to be good, but hopefully he can just basically make it through the season physically.
That'd be good. Are you surprised that Brad Stevens has become such a wheeler dealer since taking the helm?
Here's my feeling with the Boston Celtics. I don't care about anything, and they're dead to me till they trade Marcus Smart.
Wow.
I mean, Marcus Smart's contract is ridiculous. And when Brad made the deal, I was thinking to myself, I hope and pray it's because he's got a trade lined up. I don't know why he's in love with him. He thinks he's a star. He thinks he's a three-point shooter, and he's not. He's a good defensive player. He's a good poster player, but Marcus kills me. And Brad does have to wheel. He you know, he's got to do it. He's got to make moves. But to me, Marcus is albatross. That's just, you know, they're going to be okay. And I wouldn't have given Brad the job. I mean, I think it's on Wick. I would have given the job. I mean, there were guys, Ryan McDonough, who put together Will's son, who put together the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
He's available. Kevin Presti from the Oklahoma City Thunder, Boston kid, went to Emerson of all places, and he's available. And you give Brad the job? And I love Brad. I don't know, man. I got my doubts, Rich. I got my doubts. I think it's going to be Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and it's not going to be good enough. Those kids got to play out of their minds. Because they still don't have anybody else.
And does this contract give Smart the license to just chuck it from anywhere on the floor now?
Well, yes. Yes, 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 yes. That's my problem. Yes, because now he thinks that, I don't know why they love him, but that's my problem with the whole deal, unless he's got a deal for him. Now, that contract can make him tradable.
Right.
You know, I've talked to some, you know, like you talked to Jeff Goodman and some of those guys, like the NBA dudes, you know, that can make him tradable. You know, because nobody, I don't know if anybody's going to trade for Marcus Smart, you know, with 1 year left on his deal. I don't know, maybe. I don't know. When you have a deal and it physically fits into what the team wants to do, then maybe you make a deal for him. But to me, they're middle of the pack, which really bums me out. Really bums me out. I thought they were going to be at this point in time battling with Philly and New Jersey, and they're not, and Brooklyn, but they're not going to be.
Gary Tangway. Gary, always a treat when you join us. Appreciate your friendship and your help through the years. Now, since we've reached this 10th anniversary, I believe part of our agreement says that now I am obligated to destroy some of those photos from the mid-1980s at the Roundup.
You know, I don't want you to destroy them because I always want that to be a memory.
I can't hear Reba McEntire without thinking of you, my friend.
There's a lot of people down there I think about that I think of you, Rich Kimball.
Gary, thank you so much. As always, we'll catch you again soon. Be well.
Richie, happy 10th. Be good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, buddy. Gary Tangway on Downtown.